A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm your host, Francie. Here we cover everything electric vehicles, including EV road trips. And today we're again talking about a pretty funny one that the Out of Spec team plus friends did many weeks ago, I think by the time this comes out, which was a race against all the major electric trucks on the market, the Ford F-150 Lightning, the Cybertruck, the Rivian R1T, and this group was driving the Chevrolet Silverado EV from Jacksonville, Florida, the East Coast, all the way to San Diego, California, the West Coast, all the way through, no stopping, racing to see how the trucks did, how they charged, who got there first, and what kind of strategies. I mean, it was just a huge adventure. So today we have with us Max from Out of Spec Guide. You see Max everywhere. Hello, Max. We also have Adam, who I met you, Adam, when you were so generous to like everyone in the Austin area when the Cybertrucks were coming into the hands of the employees. And then we also have Robert and Justin. So maybe I'll start with Adam, just really quick, like, how did you get involved with this? I know how you got involved. You helped us get a Rivian when we needed the Cybertruck. You know, you were really helpful to Test Bros as well. How did they rope you in for this one?
Well, can you hear me all right?
Yeah. Sound great. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I saw a tweet from Kyle needing another R1T again. And of course, mine's down in Houston. And I said, anytime y'all want it, it's yours. Y'all want to come and get it. And got a message from him later on saying, hey, I'll call you. And he called me out of the blue and said, hey, are you down for a road trip? And I was like, well, not what I think you are fixing to do, which I didn't know what they were going to do. I thought they were going to go back up the East Coast. So he told me the whole story and I was like, well, I think I want to do that.
Yeah. Road trip is an understatement.
It sounds cool. Yeah. Yeah. Especially with everybody going. And yeah, so I was excited and flew down and met. And that's when it all kind of started happening with the Silverado. Max was having some issues with charging and we kind of had to get involved and help. And it ended up being a really long night before the race. So we got barely any sleep and started out the next day. So,
ooh, interesting.
Yeah, it was.
You're going to have to. Yeah, you're all going to have to tell me about that. And I know that if folks are tuning in on YouTube and watching us, you can see that Max is coming in from he's from the road. So I'll let him speak a little bit about what he's doing, because I think we only have him for, I don't know, maybe a couple more minutes before he has to get back to the job. But Max, where are you? What are you in? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm actually in the 3WT that made history on this trip that we were all in. I'm doing a range test at the moment, our classic 70 mile an hour out of spec highway range loop. So I was in Nebraska, I was in Wyoming, now I'm back in Colorado. And this thing just has range and range for days, despite being the 20 module pack, not the 24 module one. So really impressive big truck. I hope my reception's coming through, but like the cabin of this, despite being a work truck, it's actually a really nice place to be. I do wish I had lane centering because I am kind of having to fight very heavy crosswinds here, which isn't fun. But other than that, it's actually a pretty nice cabin.
Oh, that's pretty good. And so you're back in it again. You're doing the range test, so we'll have results about that, you know, in the future. Maybe people can pick up some clues from what y'all talk about today. And is that Colton in your passenger seat?
Nope. No one's in my passenger seat. It's just
Me.
Your
name says Max and Colton, so I thought maybe Colton was hiding in the passenger seat.
From when I joined on my phone last time.
Yes, but with the range tests, we only have one person in the EVs. We have a pretty some strict rules.
I've only got my virtual buddies here tonight, and I'm going to have to leave very soon. But, what a trip we had. Like Adam introduced, you know, crazy concept pulled together very last minute, as are all things out of spec, including what I'm doing today, if you couldn't tell. But fun times for sure.
Yeah, Max, I'd love to just hear, you know, what your general impressions are. You're back in the Silverado EV of the road trip, and then let you go, and I'll pass it off to the other guys here.
Yeah, general impressions really quickly here. I've got like two exits to go. It's, you know, it's a work truck. It is just GM putting a very big battery in a kind of interesting design. You know, if you get the higher end RST version of this, it's got a cool mid gate with a bed. And so that's kind of the consumer flashy version. This is just a weird, rare obscurity. No one knows what it is, that being the Silverado EV work truck specifically. It's just kind of weird. People can look at the front end and tell, like, that's not a normal Silverado. That's not an Avalanche. What is it? Someone at Discount Tire today asked me, like, what the hell is that? They didn't even know it was a Chevy. It's a bit of an odd duck, but it's a really cool vehicle. Lots of battery. It's got the cool Android Auto OS, however you name that, going on. So it's got Google Maps, route preconditioning. It's still a little bit buggy, to be honest. It's a bit unfinished, and I hope the other guests talk about our experience in this trip with that, because some of the software has got a few rough edges. Not so bad as like the BMS issues with the Lightning that was leaving folks stranded, but still some kind of quirks that, let's just say, may require you to have a tool set on hand in case things go wrong.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting. I'm sure you're coming up on the two exits there. So good luck with your range test. Thanks for telling us about it. And yeah, you've given me some peeks into what I need to ask Adam, Robert, and Justin about coming up. So, all right, Adam, I heard how you got involved. We obviously know how Max got involved, and he's involved in some other project right now. So Justin, I've seen your handle on Twitter before, but that's really it. So can you tell me and our audience a little bit about you and how you got wrapped up in this whole thing?
Yeah, so I have a YouTube channel based mostly on Tesla content, and that's where really my audience has centered around, hence the name. And I actually met Kyle a few years ago, but we've been doing parallel activities for a long time, and so I know him pretty well. And when he talked about this trip, I think it was Wednesday, the trip was on Saturday. So I told him, yeah, definitely going to be able to make it. And yeah, that was that. So I was able to join in. I did tell him, though, I cannot drive the Tesla. I want this to be as fair and unbiased as possible. So I told him, if possible, I'd just like to drive the Silverado. I really wanted to be in the Silverado for this test.
Oh, why the Silverado specifically? I know I get why not the Tesla, but why not the Rivian? Why not the Lightning? Why the Silverado?
Yeah, the F-150, I've been in many times. It's such a comfortable truck. It really truly is a nice truck. Nothing too exciting though. The Rivian is very exciting. It's very different. But again, I have a lot of experience in that. The Silverado is just something so different than what these other trucks are. When GM just decided, let's put a humongous battery in this thing and see what happens, basically, right? And so it's exciting to see, you know, what's this thing going to do? And you know, the consumer version is going to have some nice features that we certainly didn't have. But as the other two gentlemen on the podcast, they will probably agree it's kind of our unashamed secret girl on the side, that Silverado, that work truck Silverado.
Work truck specifically. Okay, makes sense. All right. Thank you, Justin. And Robert, now you must reveal what on earth brought you along on this coast-to-coast race in the Silverado.
I mean, I could be simple and say, Kyle called me up and say, hey, do you want to go on a road trip? I've got my own YouTube channel. It's called Aging Wheels. I do about half EV content and half weird, obscure, older stuff. I've got a bunch of communist-era cars, etc. Kyle's apparently been following me for a while, and we have overlapping interests. I've got three Codas myself, and I requested to be on one of these long road trips, and he called me up and said, hey, you want to go on this one? I didn't know it was going to be from Florida to California, but that's what it was on. I requested to be, given the choice of the trucks, I requested to be in the Lightning because I've been shopping used Lightnings myself. And he said, okay, how about the Silverado? And that felt like a chance I couldn't pass up.
Oh, good. Okay, great. So Kyle called you up. Some way you were linked to Kyle and he roped you into it. So must have been easily convinced. It is pretty cool. I mean, we haven't seen a race like this with all of the trucks on the market. We haven't even had all these trucks on the roads for that long. So to see them all drive, quote unquote, side by side was really cool. I don't know. Should we wait till the end to let everyone know where you placed? Unless if they've, by this point, you're able to watch the whole series on the Out of Spec. I think it'll be on the reviews channel or the motoring. I'm not exactly sure, but I'll make sure to link it in the show notes. But where did y'all place along the four trucks?
Did anyone have any doubts?
First place, right?
Yeah, we were first. We had the biggest battery by far and the fastest charging speeds by far.
First by 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to leave that out.
Yeah. But hey, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile, something like that, right?
That's still first
place. We also started off with 90% instead of 100% and got like, what was it, 10 minutes behind everyone else?
Well, yeah. We were 12 miles behind the pack, behind the back of the pack by the time we finally got to the highway. I don't think a lot of people realize how close the Silverado was to not even being able to race and the headwinds that this particular truck had. I mean, Adam was in that truck the night before until 3 o'clock in the morning, we were just trying to get the truck to work. Because
Robert and I both were.
Well, so Robert, you were there too. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the night before, what is all this problem before even starting on the road and facing any, you know, whatever comes up while you're racing, what is happening the night before you begin the race?
So Max would have been better to tell this story because it wouldn't charge on him. And I think Jordan too. They couldn't get it to charge. They had to unbolt the 12 volt battery, walk away from it, let it do a hard reset or soft reset, whatever GM would call it, so that it could actually start charging again. Once they finally got it to charge again, then they had problems with chargers, just finding them in general and then getting it to charge. And they said they were supposed to be at the hotel at like 4 p.m. And Max actually got there at like 11. And then we took over duties and tried to charge it up more because there weren't enough chargers at the hotel. And I think Adam and I were out until 2 a.m. charging this thing up to not even 90%.
Oh, we didn't get back to the hotel till 3 and then bed by probably around 3:30. Great. We ran into a fan by the Cybertruck and had to discuss that for a little while. Yeah, it was.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. We also drove the truck across town chasing chargers to try to get this thing to work.
Oh my gosh. What a headache.
Got it up just enough to do the race, basically. And the next charging sessions went really well.
So, You're starting out with like, it's 200 kilowatt hour battery pack. Like that. Is that
180,
right?
180, I think.
I think it's 180.
180. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. I don't want to overstate. Yeah. 180 is still, I mean, huge battery pack. Yeah. Like you said, it seems to be kind of like GM's thing, like with the Hummer, you know, just like as much battery as possible. Yeah. So you might be like pretty worried, like, okay, we can't get this charging. Also, I'm delirious because I haven't been sleeping and we're at 90%. But were you thinking, we have a big battery? Like, what was your strategy starting off? Like, where was your mindset? Did you know how it charged by that point? Let me know what you're thinking when you're starting it. Okay.
No. Yeah.
No, everything about this truck was an unknown going into the race.
How fun.
And also, just as I'm sure you guys remember now, sitting in the Denny's parking lot, we tried to pull the battery there, too, to try to get the thing to reset. And this is the little race. No. Yeah. So there were some issues. However, aside from a couple of those hiccups, certainly some software things that need to be hashed out, it did not let us down. It didn't strand us. And when it did charge well, it charged like a beast. And I think the best way that I've explained to people close to me is when you're watching the screen and the volume of electricity that's going into this battery, it's comical. I mean, in a span of 13 minutes, you've charged an entire, you know, Tesla Model Y. Like, it's insane. And that's like, you know, 15% of battery. Of course, I'm exaggerating, but that's just how crazy it felt looking at these numbers at the good charging sessions. And even the bad ones, they weren't terrible, but when you have that big of a battery, like, you need a solid charging every time, which was its biggest crutch was relying on public chargers to be delivering its best. But I think all of us kind of agree, it's hard to tell which parts were charger issues and which parts were maybe software issues with the truck. I think the first three charging stops, we manually preconditioned the truck. And then thereafter, we stopped and let the truck do it itself. And it was like night and day difference between how it charged. Weird.
But the first stop, we let Google Maps do automatic preconditioning, and it was still not quite peak speeds. We only got 280, 270, something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was 253 was the tops I saw on that screen. But we didn't know how much higher than that it was going to be, right?
Yeah. It seemed to be two different charging curves. It would start at 300 and then very slowly walk its way down, or it would start at 250 and stay there. That seemed to be the two behaviors.
That doesn't seem too bad.
Yeah, that seems like a good curve.
It was hitting 311. It was...
Wow.
Yeah, it was nuts either way.
It was nuts. Yeah.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm. I do not see anything like that with the VinFast VF8. That's for sure.
But also rationalize that too. You're talking 180 kilowatt hour battery pack. So this thing's massive. Getting 330, I think, was the tops we saw. Getting 330 on that thing is like getting 180 or 190 in a modern day Tesla to V3. Maybe even 200. So, like, you have to rationalize the size of the battery because it's just, it's insane.
Yeah.
But it was 200 kilowatts felt very slow. 150 felt unlivable.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, like, the Rivian, if they were stuck with a 150 charger, it would not have a measurable impact on the outcome. They could overcome whatever few minutes they would lose. For us, that's 45 minutes additional, right? Like, just killer.
We should mention the one flaw the truck has that is a known flaw with GM Ultium products. If you charge it with the climate control on, it drops down to, like, the first time Justin turned on the climate control, it legitimately dropped down to 16 kilowatts. We have no idea how this could be this bad, but we left climate control every time off, every time we charged, because it noticeably affected things.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty bonkers.
That's wild. Like,
if you don't know that, everyone should know that. That should come with every Ultium vehicle at this point, unless they get that fixed. Jeez.
Well, they have to get that fixed. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't sit in Arizona charging without climate running, right?
Oh my God, heck no. And so many people sit in their EVs and wait. Okay. So that's an interesting thing that you ran into. So before you saw the charge curves and stuff, what were you thinking was going to be kind of the range you would get on a, 90% charge?
I was expecting over 300 miles.
Yeah.
Even at 80 miles an hour, it did not achieve that. I was a little disappointed.
How much did it not achieve that? Were you like, oh, wow, we are losing range quickly? Or
We arrived at our first stop, which was 265 miles away with 3%, and we left with 90%. Okay. So
pretty good.
260 was about the maximum we could
stretch. I don't think we did any stretches more than that. Most of our stretches were on the low side, 200, but somewhere averaging in the 230 area.
230s, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So after
that means we charged 10 times and the Cybertruck charged 30 times. Like, it was just insane.
Yeah. That is so different. So after that first impression, you're like, okay, maybe we can get 260 most, but were you taking that and like doing back of the envelope math? Like, how were you planning ahead your stops? What was the strategy there? Did you have a designated person to find the next stop? How did y'all approach it as a team of four?
Oh yeah, we were all working the phones.
We were all coming together, and I think we didn't really have a solid one answer, and I think we did a good job adjusting on the fly. I was probably too comfortable with low states of charge, so it was like a yin and a yang, right? Like pulling it together to get it closer to what was probably a better result. Because I'm not used to showing up to a charger and not working. And, you know, we had to move several times along the way. Mm-hmm. And that could be a big issue if we had zero. But what was great about it is if you did show up at 1%, the thing still immediately 193 kilowatts right away. That's awesome.
Nice. That's pretty satisfying plugging in to a charger that works and then seeing high charging speeds when you get there.
Yeah.
Okay, so y'all were all kind of trying to figure out what comes next. So let's talk about the charging infrastructure. So obviously the only vehicle that was able to charge on the Tesla Supercharger network was the Cybertruck, because unfortunately did the Lightning do it at that point?
In the Lightning, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, in the Lightning, mm-hmm. but not the Rivian, which did happen a little bit later. Now Rivian can access the Tesla Supercharger network. By the time this comes out, who knows, maybe GM will have access. I've heard a little rumblings about that, but not exactly sure. I'll be watching this as future Francie saying, blah, blah, blah. Someone else got access. But as of now, you were stuck with the CCS charging network. Like you said, Justin, like you weren't used to it. But Adam, you've used it. Robert, I'm not sure what you drive, but like how...
I have a Polestar, so yeah, I'm very used to it.
Nice. So y'all were like, okay, come on, we'll try to figure it out. But also, okay, so how did that go? What were the major providers that you used? And yeah, who did you mostly see? Electrify America, EVgo?
Yeah, that one. Other one? Electrify America.
Electrify America, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So were those...
One GM branded.
One GM.
It was the Ultium charger.
Yeah.
The Delta. We thought for sure, we had not seen 300 kilowatts by the time we got to that charger. I can't even remember what city that we were in. We were a good third.
That was outside of Houston.
This race. Okay.
Yeah.
It was GM's brand right on the charger. And we said to ourselves, if we are going to see a solid charging session, dang it, it's going to be on that charger. Sure enough, it didn't work out that way.
No, it didn't.
No. Bummer. Okay.
But oddly enough, and this is going to be, I think, pretty funny for your listeners too, who are more used to high voltage non-Teslas. There were two Signet chargers. There were newer Signet chargers. Those were our two best charges by far.
Nice. Okay. Signet, those can be pretty good. I know those are like, they're pretty widespread deployed out there. So glad that those were giving you a good session. I know that I've done some Electrify America dependent EV road trips, and mostly they're at Walmarts. Where did you find charging? Because you're on the highway most of the time. Like, how far off of the highway did you typically have to go?
It was always Walmart. It's always a stinking Walmart.
Or a hotel.
Or yeah, hotels. There were so
hotel
many.
Hotel was the worst.
Yeah.
For fast chargers at hotels?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No food, no nothing.
No.
Middle of nowhere.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they work.
You buy like really expensive hotel snacks that are just not worth it at all.
We actually paid for our breakfast at one. So
one time.
Well,
yeah.
That's good.
One time.
That's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because y'all are driving through the night. I'll remind our listeners, like, there is nonstop. You are going, hopefully catching some shut eye when you can, in with the four of y'all, you know, grown men in the Silverado EV. So that is pretty funny. So yeah, I mean, you had to kind of venture off of the highway. I think that's one of the things that I've loved to see with the Pilot Flying J stations, is that travel centers, and those are with EVgo and GM Energy, those are right off the highway. Travel, like using the infrastructures that is there and popping some chargers on there. I think Tesla, you know, has sometimes done a good job of that, but that's only I've seen like in the Southeast, you know, out of Knoxville, that's where they're headquartered, and then stretching a little bit north and up in Ohio, but I haven't really seen a ton of them go west. So it doesn't seem like you ran into any of those or really got to take advantage of, look, a travel center with charging there just right off of the highway.
I were so jealous of the Ford. They had all the superchargers and the Buckies and
all the fun of
rocking it on Walmart sandwiches.
We did skip the Buckies because Max had a bad experience at the Mercedes charger the day before, and we were afraid to stop there. We thought, if this bricks the truck, it's game over for us. So we charged up enough at the previous stop to skip over the Buckies and go to the next one, which was an Electrify America at a Walmart.
Okay. If it had been later in the race, I think there would have been a mutiny if we didn't stop at Buckies. There was a real morale booster associated with the Buckies. But interestingly enough, so I took the Rivian that went on that race. I took it back from San Diego to Florida. Those Flying J stations, two of them had just opened as I was driving by. I didn't stop there, but that Mercedes charger at the Buckies worked flawlessly.
Good.
It was really nice.
Rub it in, why don't you?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah,
there was a car show there and everything. So it was a great break.
Was it you? Was the car show just the Rivian?
Yeah, that's right. That was a bunch of slammed cars that not really my interest, but fun nonetheless.
How fun. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really great that we're seeing like Mercedes partnered with Buc-ee's. I know that I've seen at least one Electrify America out of Buc-ee's, but like Buc-ee's is this, I don't know if the listeners have not been to Buc-ee's. I went to Buc-ee's for the first time on accident, like this past year. I just was like pulling into a Buc-ee's for gas outside of Birmingham, Alabama. And I was like, oh, never been here. I walk in there. I had no idea what I was walking into. It is a whole world inside of Buc-ee's. So definitely if you have the chance to stop by one on a road trip and now they're getting EV charging, it's just a really great amenity. And they basically create their own Buc-ee's zip code when they put these in place. They have their own Buc-ee's road. So I see why that would boost morale, something a bit more exciting than going to a Walmart and a bit more adjacent to where you're going. So you had all these charging issues the night before, but it sounds like once you were on the road, you saw great charging curves. Like, did you think you defeated the problem? What happened next?
After Houston, that's when things turned around for us and we started to really... We almost started getting spoiled a little bit to where we expected solid charging at every stop. And I think there were only one or two other stops that weren't really that great. And one of them was supposed to be our last stop. And then the other one was in between Houston and the end.
At the Holiday Inn where we stopped to get breakfast, I did not get much breakfast because Adam was watching the charge rate on his phone. And it said, oh, it just dropped down to 60 kilowatts. So I dropped everything, ran out to the parking lot to try to see. It did indeed drop down to 60 kilowatts. It did not recover. So I unplugged it, plugged it into the next 350. It jumped up to 80 kilowatts, which is still awful. So I unplugged it from there, plugged it back into the one it was just plugged into, and it jumped up to 100. So I theorized if I kept doing that, bouncing back and forth, it'd eventually get up to 300. But instead, we dropped everything and left and went on to the next one.
Ugh. Bummer. Okay.
He had to throw his plate away. It was very sad. Yeah. I mean,
that is so sad.
We didn't have good food on this trip. Time.
Yeah.
No.
You like fasted. Yeah. Maybe should have fasted.
We dehydrated too because there's so much range in this stinking truck. We didn't even have to stop.
That is like the thing that some people like will have the strategy where it's like, I'm only drinking as much water as I need to not shrivel up into a raisin. But that's like on a normal road trip. You know, maybe you wouldn't care so much, but y'all are really trying to race it out. And I know you talked about preconditioning and that you tried a few different strategies with that. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you were able to do for preconditioning? It sounds like at one point you did it yourself and then you let the car do it another time, the truck.
I should have mentioned, but before we even started on this, Kyle told me that the Google services and all of the route planning and everything was not active on this truck. So I made sure to try to get that to work because I wanted the arrival state of charge estimate. And the data said it was connected, but it wasn't. There was no data connection in this truck. So for the entirety of the trip, the truck was connected to a hotspot running off of my phone. And that's how we got data on it. And that's how we did the route planning, the arrival state of charge estimates, the automatic preconditioning, all of it. Just running off of my phone's hotspot.
Okay, because this was directly, this was given to you from, or to Kyle, to the team from GM, right?
From Hertz. This was a Hertz rental.
From Hertz?
Yes.
This is amazing. Okay. Well, so, that's weird. Would it was rented to the team as if it were like a normal rental?
Yes.
And it didn't have data?
Right.
Yeah.
I cannot believe they're renting this out to normal people. It had 2,000 miles on it when we got it.
Hertz does that on all GM products. No data.
Yeah. What? It's so useless without that.
I know.
And if you're renting an EV to someone who perhaps is not in, like, hasn't been in an EV or just a new EV and you don't have all those capabilities that come with data, that seems like an oversight. Just like, hey, I'm going to sabotage your experience with Hertz. Okay. So you access your hotspot. That's crazy, Robert. And then you were able to use the route planning and stuff. Once you had that functionality through your, you know, loophole, how was that? In the Silverado, did you like it? Would you, you know, how does it compare?
It was identical to the Google Maps experience in the Polestar 2 that I'm so used to. So that was nice. The automatic preconditioning, when it started preconditioning, it alerted everyone in the cabin with this like Windows 95 chime and a message that came up. It was almost adorable. after the first stop and we didn't get as high a charging as we expected, Kyle told us, okay, for the next one, try manual preconditioning. And later on, someone from GM also told us this, but we had a worse experience doing manual conditioning 70-ish miles out than we did with automatic preconditioning and just letting the truck's computer do whatever it felt was right.
Okay.
My guess on what was happening based on what I could hear the truck doing, what we were observing with actual charging, is when you manually started preconditioning, I mean, we were adding time to precondition. It should have been warmer and better. But I think what was happening is it was still running the same cycle. And when that cycle was done, it was done. Whether you started it way back here or whether you let it happen on its own. So by the time you got there, if you started it 70 miles ahead instead of the 45 maybe it wanted, you know, there's a big chunk of time where it's not doing anything to warm up those batteries. And that is, I think, after three tries, for whatever reason, we decided, let's give it a shot to just let the truck do it itself. And that worked.
Okay. I mean, I think we've like had different arguments for manual and then like letting the car do it. But I think sometimes you don't know, like you think your manual option will be better, but it turns out the system is better or vice versa.
And we talked to someone from GM who also did not know. They suggested manual preconditioning and we said, no, it's working better on automatic.
Yeah. It's a software issue. For sure. Yeah. This will be fixed.
There are some, you know, GM has had some notable software issues. They've, you know, had stop sales and start sales. So obviously wishing them the best in, you know, having the best software that they can have. And okay, back to like the driving experience. Hopefully all of y'all got to drive for a certain amount of time, but Adam, I've driven the Rivian R1T. I've used the highway assistance. How does this compare to what you know in your Rivian? What kind of assistance is there in the Silverado?
There's a lane keeping assistance. Nothing like the Rivian though. The cruise control is excellent. The scary part though is when you get to 5% and it all shuts off and then it slams on regen, and that's just, it's freaky. And the brakes on this truck, the regen, we had it on the max setting, which was nice because you can crank it all the way up and regen's incredible. But yeah, it gives you an auto alert, lights on the dash, and then everything shuts off. And
what do you mean everything shuts off?
Well, your cruise control just shuts down.
So then it's like, just take over,
and
Adam. It
just breaks.
Going under. Oh, no. That's no fun. I do know that there like are aspects of a lot of different highway driver's assistance that are shocking. Like they will shock the driver and kind of do something that a lot of people will be like, that was scary. I didn't know that was coming. But yeah, so I think like no one has really gotten it right, but that's interesting. At 5%, it'll be like, I can't do this anymore. I've got to focus on something else.
Yeah.
And you got to drive it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So not quite the lane keeping that Rivian does. You can kind of like Tesla with FSD. I mean, that's different. But what about the Polestar, Robert? Tell me a little bit about that. How does it compare?
Well, I got my Polestar without the pilot package, so it didn't have adaptive cruise or lane centering, but I hacked it to enable that like 1,000 miles ago, and it's pretty similar to the really basic system in the Silverado, if I'm honest. It just kind of bounces between lanes. The Silverados doesn't have actual lane keep assist. It's just lane departure warning with pretty significant margins on the bumpers. It kind of compares to that. But the adaptive cruise, like Adam said, was excellent.
Okay, that's pretty good. I like to hear it. You know, I think there's, like I said, different systems that we've seen across automakers. It'll be kind of interesting to see which ones continue to improve, because I think it is a software thing where they can get better and better at driving themselves. Okay, so you came in first, which is incredible. So you had the, I mean, y'all are like, yeah, look at us. Of course we would come in first. Look at what we're driving. Of course. But you never really know like what kind of charging problems you're going to run into with the night before too. Like y'all might've been like, I really don't know what's going to happen. We're in it though. But okay. So what was the efficiency that you saw? Like, do you have a mile per kilowatt hour kind of stat that you saw? And what was your maybe average speed along the way?
It was 1.5 for the whole trip. That's another thing, software issue that we encountered. About halfway through the trip meter stopped working. It didn't show anything on the screen. But Kyle got it to work at the end. And we averaged 1.5 miles per kilowatt hour for the whole trip. I think we averaged 80 to 85 for most of the journey.
Okay. This is kind of funny. I'm hearing some things that like my VinFast does. Like I was doing a trip planner and it just stopped. And then it said that my average speed was like 4 miles per hour on an 800 mile road trip. And that was just not true. We also have Max back. Hello, Max. You are in the Silverado and you have returned. How's it going?
It's going well. I'm on the side of I-25. We sent it full send. So I made it just between the frontage road and 25. Luckily, I'm not in the middle of the road, but yeah, full power loss. We went to the bottom and beyond, and I won't spoil the range number, but yeah, it's not bad.
Okay. Is it, are you surprised by it based on this coast to coast race?
It's hard because 85 miles an hour is a lot more energy consumption than 70. So this is, I thought things were going really well, but we're seeing like historic winds today in Colorado and Wyoming, which have kind of conspired against this range test. You know, all things being equal, if the winds were constant, you can predict for that. Today, it was one of those cases where the wind really picked up strength in the afternoon and killed the efficiency getting back.
Yeah, not the best day for range testing, maybe. So we've talked about a lot of things, Max, since you've been gone. How the charging was, the CCS infrastructure, how y'all were trying to, you know, figure out where to go, how you kind of were dealing with the quirks of the Silverado as they came along, preconditioning. Max, I'd love to know, like, with y'all's approach, do you think that you would do anything differently next time if you were going to race the Silverado again?
I think the first thing, and maybe this has come up, is just the preconditioning logic that's done on the like built-in navigation. So in this truck, that's Google Maps, takes a lot of things into effect about ambient temperature, how far you are away from the charger. So initially we were told, or Kyle gave us the advice of, 70 miles out from the charger, as a rule of thumb, start manually preconditioning the battery, which you can do in this truck. And we did that. However, later on in the trip, once we stopped doing that and just let the truck automatically preconditioned with maps, we seem to be having better charges. Also, this is so equipment sensitive. This truck stresses equipment. Like, you can look at an Electrify America site that's rated at 350 kilowatts, but if it's like not the right hardware, then it sometimes can't maintain that for long. Sometimes it'll just stop the session because it's like too much power delivery at these stations, especially if you're sharing power. You're not even going to get the full charge rate this truck can handle. So I don't know if it's something I would have done differently, but I guess, like, you know, if we had the nerd level 9,000 knowledge to pick the right EA stops, maybe we could have optimized that a bit better.
That's true. If you could really look at the most recent like plug share, and someone had shared their most recent plug share data, whatever it was, all that good juicy.
And we were, but you know, there's not many vehicles on the road like the Silverado work truck. So unfortunately, we couldn't find many check-ins with people with similar vehicles. And the biggest tragedy, I think, with this is that the one station we went to, there was an EVGO pilot flying go J, like GM, you know, co-branded station, did not deliver full power to this truck at all. We had much better experiences at most Electrify Americas we actually went to.
Yes, the guys mentioned that too, is that they had hoped that, okay, this will be a match made in heaven. And it wasn't, unfortunately. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, what are some of the highlights along the way? Maybe you met people at stops. Maybe there's a funny story from here or there. Robert, your no breakfast story is sad, so I want to hear a happy one. Okay, I love breakfast. So what is some of the like funny highlights that came along?
I would say I was just kind of pleasantly surprised by how many intersections we had with the Metal Triangle team or the Frigidaire team, Cybertruck, whatever you want to call them. We came across them a lot and we had some fun moments. Luckily nothing too dangerous, but definitely some highway shenanigans, some blocking being played there. So that I think added to the excitement of the trip, seeing that like visually. We had some great clips. I can't wait to show people in the video, but just the fact that like here we are, actually able to see each other and also witness everyone else in traffic gaping at the Cybertruck and, you know, maybe making things more dangerous. But yeah, all the other thing that like surprised me on this trip is how inconspicuous we were really in this truck. I know I was saying earlier, the front end, it does look a bit different, but generally speaking, it's nothing like the Cybertruck or even the Rivian R1T when people see it. I think most people who aren't really in the know will probably just think it's some kind of gas truck and move on. So that was kind of nice to be just in stealth mode and be able to do that. And then we could pull off some passes and maneuvers too, because people had no idea what we were.
Yeah, you could shoot ahead.
Related to that, there was a lady that came up to us at Electrify America in Arizona. Max and I were sitting on the tailgate, I think. And she came up and she said, "Excuse me, is that really electric?" We told her, "Yes." And then she said, "Is nothing sacred?" And then just walked away.
Oh, come on, we got to experiment. Look at how cool it is. Y'all, like, seriously, just the magnitude of power that thing and the energy that it's able to hold and the size of that battery. I mean, that's pretty crazy. But no, it's not sacred. We will electrify it and we will continue to do it.
Telling her how much power it has and everything, but she didn't care.
No. I mean, like, yeah, you can tow a horse trailer, blah, 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 blah. Maybe, I don't know what she was looking for, but you were mentioning, Max, that like you were watching the Cybertruck. Like, was that most of it? Were you able to see other people, the Lightning, the Rivian along the way? Like, or was it mostly, yeah, you saw each other?
We didn't see not to spoil things too much. We didn't see much of the Lightning that much, but we had a few run-ins with the Rivian team where they pulled in the Chargers at the same time we did. And it was, you know, one of those Western standoffs, except of course we mostly had the position of, by the time they were getting there, being close to done charging, which was a pretty nice place to be in the Silverado. Mm-hmm. One other funny thing I just thought of that came up actually before this trip started for all of us. I was testing the vehicle the night before.
Yeah, I can't. Can y'all hear Max? Okay.
Yeah, no, sorry. I got to call Kyle back in a second, but I'll just finish the story. A Bolt driver just like looks at me in this huge full-size Plus truck and is like, "You're going to bring down the station." Like they're like, "I've never seen an EV that big." And I'm like, yeah, they make them now. So that was just funny. Like, you know, to just a meeting of worlds. And that's the kinds of things you see at these charging sites, because they're so limited. And then you have everything between Lucid Air, a Silverado, and a Chevy Bolt pulling up to the same charger. And I find that always quite funny.
It is pretty funny. That is a meeting of worlds, a pretty dramatic difference in the kinds of EVs that we're going to see on the road. I mean, with all the different technologies and brands.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I don't want to hold everyone up too much. Kyle's coming with a diesel generator in the Rivian, so I can get back on the roads. So you all enjoy the rest of the podcast. This was such a fun trip. And thank you, Francie, for putting all of these stories together.
Of course. Thanks, Max. Good luck.
Thanks.
Send pics. Okay. So, yeah, go ahead.
I think the best moment of the race was the end. And I have refused to watch video from the Cybertruck because I'm waiting for the video to post so I can experience it for the first time then. But before you get to San Diego, of course, there's a mountain you have to climb three times, actually. It's like 4,000 feet three times. And I think the ambient temperature at the top was something like 38 degrees.
It's 32.
32. I almost said that to you. Yeah. So it was cold. So on top of elevation, the cold really set in, which, you know, has an impact. But we had charged enough to get to the finish line at the previous charger. And we had a 14-mile lead. And so we're starting to go up this mountain, and I decided, let's just take it easy then, because this is taking a bigger hit. We'll just conserve, we'll save a little bit, and then we can just kind of coast in, whatever. And I'm watching the Cybertruck on GPS, and he's not slowing down. I'm watching this, and I'm like, okay, we're about to set a trap, basically. So he's thinking in his mind that they don't have enough charge. All we got to do is pass them, and then we can just coast. So I waited till he closed the gap halfway, and then I put it to 85 or 80, whatever it was we were doing. So then I called his bluff, and then he had to now continue to go at that speed, which means whatever minimal reserve he had left was gone. And then at that point, we had to make a decision. Well, do we keep going 80 or 85 and just add another stop? And ultimately, that's what we decided to do. Unfortunately, with public charges, as you know, they're in town, past town hall, around a corner, and another stoplight, which is ridiculous. But I mean, it was a splash, 5 kilowatt hour of energy, and then back on. And the best part was, you know, we're watching GPS. Oh, they're almost here. They're almost here. But they couldn't go faster than like 45 miles an hour because they couldn't make it to the Tesla charger that was down the road. So it was like, it was a fun cat and mouse game. Almost, I think Kyle at the end called it the Cold War. It was fun.
You're definitely an arms race. That's pretty fun that you got to like get strategic there and even get like really competitive and tricky and try to read what the other person was doing.
Because you can't just drive faster. And that's what makes this race so hard. You can't just drive faster and like, hey, we'll just blow through all this energy and just add more stops. You can't. It's against the rules. And that's what makes it very tough to win this race.
Mm-hmm. So all of you are, you know, EV owners, EV drivers. Obviously, you'll embark on these kind of adventures and experiments and experiences. Of course, we're seeing the technology in terms of public charging, charging ports, standardization, going over to J3400, the North American Charging Standard, the Tesla Connector, all AKAs of each other, from the CCS Chargers Standard. What do y'all think about that, especially with a long road trip like that? What are your general thoughts, one, about how this will roll out? And yeah, just I'm seeing thumbs up.
Can't wait.
I'm a little, I'm not sure the word here. I'm curious how the Silverado will charge on Tesla superchargers, because it charges at 550, 600 volts, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll have to charge the pack in parallel mode. And what will that charge speed be like? Because it's a super low voltage. In parallel mode, it's like 290 volts, if it's even that. So what kind of speeds is it going to get from superchargers? Will it even see a benefit from going to superchargers? I mean, there's obviously a benefit in reliability, but what about the rest of it? I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, that's something we're definitely waiting to see.
These high voltage trucks are going to be very interesting to see, short of V4, true V4s being accessible. But I think for everybody else,
absolutely.
It's just change everything. And it was miserable driving the Rivian from California to Florida from my point of view. I'm sure it was not a terrible experience for most people, but it was awful. And that trip to California was so eye-opening to me. I couldn't believe how miserable it was, and then looking around at the guy saying, this is a pretty good experience charging, and I'm like, this is unbearable. So I'm very excited for people who have had to live with that, and for the people who refuse to step into EVs because of that. This is just going to change everything 100%, and I'm very happy that this is happening.
Like you said, I've done a lot of road tripping in my Polestar, And I've had much, much worse charging experiences at Electrify Americas. This was a pretty good trip.
This was the best experience I've ever had on EA. I mean, it was
it's
pretty
just,
good.
Yeah. And I'm like, and this is awful.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean it won't activate? What does that even mean?
Yeah. But I mean, really.
Alternatively, in the future, if charging becomes as good as possible, well, these kind of trips, they won't even be necessary.
Yeah. That's true. Yep. Yeah, this is definitely like, one, you proved that the road trips can happen despite what infrastructure that you are using, whatever is available to you. And, you know, just you might be used to a certain kind and then you come experience this. You might be certain used to it, but you have a pretty nice charging session throughout your trip. But you can drive a Silverado EV coast to coast and make it. And not like, it doesn't sound like you were trying to run it down to zero, right? And get it as close to zero to get a good charge, to get that good range. But at any point where you're like, I don't know if we're going to make it to the next one.
Louisiana. That was close. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was.
It powered. It lost a little power there.
And we don't know how this truck behaves at 0%. And I guess Max does know, but we still didn't by the end of the trip.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. What are your, animals. Yeah. What my biggest takeaway, of course, is like you can do it in all of these trucks. All of these trucks did it. And infrastructure has a lot of work to do, right? But it's still possible. You just have to have, a good attitude. I'm not saying it's not possible. Love EV road trips. What are some of y'all's biggest takeaways from this experience in general, whether it's like a personal takeaway, or emotional takeaway, or like a takeaway about the technology and EV road trips?
My Polestar is ruined forever.
Why do you say so?
It only charges 150 kilowatts. I can only go like 100 miles between stuff. So it's like a Nissan Leaf in comparison now.
That is pretty different.
The Silverado is, it will cast a spell on you, whether you want it to or not. It just does this weird thing where you're like, oh, that part was not fun, but I really liked it anyways. Like, it was not the most, it was probably the least comfortable vehicle on this race. And it's not because it's an uncomfortable truck necessarily, but you have that pleather vinyl non-breathable seats. They're a little bit on the firm side, and there's four of us in this, like with all of our gear. It was not extremely comfortable. Despite that, it was hard not to love the truck.
Yeah.
And the smell that we generated in this thing by the end of the trip, it was disgusting. It smelled like the Cybertruck looked, a dumpster.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So that's okay. I had to miss this trip. At least I wasn't in the Silverado, I guess.
Four dudes stuck and cramped into non-breathable seats for 40 hours or whatever it ended up being.
How roomy is it? I've been in a Rivian, I've been in a Lightning, I've been in the Cybertruck.
It's so big. It's got so much room. You can stretch your legs. Yeah, that part was great. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I'm good. Because Polestars are much smaller. I have seen four grown men in a Polestar on a road trip in California. And I was like, why did y'all rent a Polestar? I have no idea. But they were checking that out. Anyways, that's a story for another time. Okay. Would you have any advice to other people that would embark on a road trip like this? Maybe they're not racing, but a really long road trip.
I'm sure by now everybody knows first, second, and third place all came within 30 minutes. And the takeaway from this, even the F-150 with the issues they had, I mean, they were pretty far behind before that happened. But when you're talking about a trip this long, you're talking the difference of a few hours over the course of maybe 40, get the truck you want. All of them are capable. And the difference in real world, not running in from charger to restroom back to the truck, taking your time, having a lunch like the F-150 crew did. And, that's real road tripping for real families. It's going to be so close that it's not worth the fight to sacrifice. If you want the F-150 because you love it, get the F-150, right?
They were all great. The Cybertruck team was hard optimizing. They were only charging up to like 30% before they hit the charge taper. Mm-hmm. That's not a normal road trip. So I'd be curious to see if they were road tripping like quote unquote normal people, how they would have ended up.
Yeah, that's Kyle road tripping for you there.
Yeah.
What about you, Adam? What do you think?
I love the big battery. It was great. So I know that's kind of hard to beat, but I really miss my Rivian seats. So you know, maybe the luxury version of the Chevy would be the pick.
Yeah.
I would love to check that out. But you know, I keep thinking about the Chevy. It's weird because I wasn't a fan of it at first, but after the road trip,
it
kind of changed my mind. I mean, the software will get improved, I'm sure of, but I did really like it.
I would have pulled a trailer with it.
Yeah.
A big battery. I wanted to
over 200 miles. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
So you might, you all seem enchanted by your Silverado. Did you have a name for her or him?
The only names we used would probably not be appropriate to speak on the channel.
Big battery witch. Let's just.
There you go. That's pretty good. Oh, that's good. Sylvie. Amazing. I love it. Okay. Would you do it again?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. In a heartbeat.
And would you do it in the Silverado?
Sure.
Yes.
If you wanted to win again.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we
could. I want the big battery, though.
Yeah.
With leather seats.
I want to win by 2 hours.
Cool seats.
Yeah, cool seats.
Yeah, ventilated seats for sure. Yeah. Oh,
and unlike
fun.
Kyle, we would use that cooled seat feature.
Yes. Yeah. Right. You have enough battery. You can.
I don't think they used HVAC the whole trip. Just, I'm sure everybody else that's watching knows that by now. But I don't think that they used air conditioning for most of that
goodness
trip.
Goodness gracious! How funny. I know that I was tracking y'all. I had the app, the Glimpse app, while y'all were doing it, and I was kept checking in to see where you are. And it was really interesting to see how y'all were moving along from start to finish. And I was like, at some points, you know, by this time you're able to watch it. I won't spoil too many things, but I was like, what is going on with some of these groups? Like, I was texting them being like, are you okay? Like, is this GPS tracker correct? And I think y'all know who I'm talking about. But we will check in with that team as well. But wow, congratulations on first. You did it. You did the whole trip. I mean, it's something that it's really cool. I don't think this has been done in this world. And I'm really glad that you all got to be a part of it. And thank you for taking the time to come onto the podcast to tell me and our audience here about your experience. That seems like it was overall pretty fun.
Yeah, so much fun.
Blast. Yeah,
it was a blast.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Anyone have any? What was that?
In truck number 250.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's the 250th one?
Yes.
The software does not lie. Yeah, you can tell it's number 250.
Yeah, right. There's some fresh things about it. It is a newborn. Do y'all have any other EV road trips planned coming up?
Yes.
Short one to Austin tomorrow. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have my biggest one yet coming up.
Keeping
solar eclipse
surprise?
In a week or two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the solar eclipse.
I'll be taking delivery of my Cybertruck. I'm sorry, my Maytag very soon. And it will be going on the most amazing, epic trip ever.
Awesome.
I'm so excited.
Awesome.
More than a year in the planning. And just as a side note for anybody at Rivian that's listening, you hurt my feelings. They shut me down twice. Actually, the second time, they just wouldn't respond to me anymore. I tried to do this trip in a Rivian, but because it's an adventure story. But what are you going to do?
I didn't know you were doing that immediately after taking delivery. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, within a couple of weeks. Yeah. Because I have to. I have too much back to back to back in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I'll have your stuff linked, Justin, and everything relevant to this podcast linked in the show notes so that everyone listening or watching us can go check it out. And if you have questions for the Silverado team, please ask them in the comments. Like, what did we not cover? What are you curious about? And I'll have them come over and answer your questions because I'm sure there are more. And congratulations again on first place. Y'all did it. Thank you again for coming onto the podcast. And thank you everyone for tuning in with us today for another electric episode of the Out of Spec podcast. We will catch you next time. Stay tuned for this series so everyone can tell their stories of the coast to coast EV truck trip. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.